Matthew 22. Today it's going to be called No Running in Church. Jesus Hanging on Love. The issue of reverence. I have to admit, it's something that we need to chew on. We're talking about authority in these days before Easter. When it's just us, we're gathering together our team because on Easter Sunday, the plan is that's our first big game. That's go time. We kick down the gates of hell during the days that precede Easter. On Easter Sunday, it's a new church. Hopefully we have people here that haven't been in church in a long time. If we all do our part, we'll have a number of people in here that have come because we invited them to Easter service 2007, the beginning of a new church. What we're attempting to do is to prophesy in the name of Jesus, to speak forth the mind and the heart of God from His Word, in His name. You know, when a teacher starts out the school year, usually she or he writes the name up on the board. Hopefully, the first day of school, you establish what the rules are. What are some of the rules that are probably good for a classroom? No talking. Raise your hand if you want to be acknowledged. Okay, one of you kids back there. A good rule. No fighting, all right? Anybody else? No chewing gum. Boy, that used to be one. Nowadays, it's no guns, no knives. Yeah, anybody else with a rule? No weapons. No cell phones. Now, that wasn't an issue back when I was a kid. We had one called no passing notes. Today it might be no text messaging. Lots of no's. You realize there's a lot of no's there. The one who has the authority to give rules ought to, because it establishes order. You shall have no other gods before me. There is to be no idol making among you. Do not misuse my name. How many of you have ever in your life forged the name of your parent? Okay. Now look, here we have some truth. This is the hospital for sin-sick people. You have forged the name of a parent. Anybody ever forge a name of a teacher? Did anybody ever go up to dad and kind of stretch the truth? Mom says it's okay with her. If it's okay with you, even though mom didn't exactly say it that way, it's called playing the parents. You know what? We have rules, and a lot of them are no. No other gods, no idol making. No. Don't misuse my name. That's why it's going to be a biggie for me that we don't have rules and then blame them on God. Jesus didn't come to abolish all rules. He didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. And in Jesus, everything is yes and amen. So somehow I have to make sense of what are we as a church to do? Running in church or no running in church? If the rule says honor your mother and your father says, regardless of what anybody else says, as for me and my house, we're not going to be running in church. Then you ought to honor your mother and your father. But you know, sometimes when I get the joy of the Lord, I just get kind of happy. Is it all right to jump in the house of God? Now, I think it's in the book of Acts. I think there's, you know, Peter and John, this beggar who's been crippled for so long, gets a healing, and it says he went walking and jumping and praising God. So I'm glad that there's no rule against getting a little emotional. But maybe that is different than this just running and horsing around, rough housing in the house of God. You know, there might be a time that it's fitting to run in God's house, and definitely a time when it's not. It's not appropriate. Last week we talked about danger. You know, that if something in our liberty, we're doing skipping, hopping, jumping, running, if our liberty is going to endanger somebody else, knock them over and put them in a nursing home or a hospital, that isn't what Jesus would want for us, right? Yeah. I don't think we're going to solve this issue of running or no running in church. But I was willing to pay last week for a hall monitor. I wonder if there's any other hall monitor potential. That little guy there just raised his hand. Will you come on up here, buddy? And I just want you to take a seat on up here. Oh, he's running. Did I say, will you just run on up here? Did I actually say that? How old are you?
7.
And what's your name?
Donald.
Donald what?
Donald Cameron.
Donald Cameron. Everybody say hi to Donald. He's 7 years old. Donald, would you be one of my hall monitors?
Yes.
Why you got the big smile on your face? You think it's worth a little something?
Maybe. That means a yes.
Maybe means yes. Yeah, that's true. Maybe does mean yes. I got a dollar for you, and I got another one for you, all right? How old are you?
7.
Everybody that's 7 or over, will you just tell them kind of what Pastor Patterson, Pastor Rob's rule ought to be for the sanctuary? Running or no running?
No running.
All in favor of this guy, go ahead and clap your hands. All right. Now, will you help remind all those that are under the age of 7 what the rule is going to be in the sanctuary?
Yes.
What is that?
No running in church.
Okay, now is that because Jesus says so or just because that's the rule we kind of come up with for the safety of everybody?
That's the rule that safety or whatever.
Okay, I like that. Good, I got that answer. Good, thank you. You can go ahead and be seated. You know, I might be wrong. Maybe look at him. Woo! Now, you know what I'd also like to do? I can't see that clock up there. Before Easter Sunday, we're going to have some way for me to be able to see a clock. Okay? What time is it? 11:02. Now, it's too far for you. You'd have to run. But I'm going to wonder that if at quarter after, John, would you come light a candle for a kind of a signal? Get to the point, Pastor. It's time to get into that next song. Oh, he doesn't have a watch. See, he doesn't care about time. Yeah, I know. Just preach it. That's all right. Less will. Less, you timekeeper. That's good for me. Okay, so we've looked at some don'ts, right? Do not have any other gods before me. No idol making. Don't misuse my name. That's what I'd like to teach that little guy. What's his name? 7-year-old what? Donald what? Cameron. Now, he's getting it, right? I'd hope that Donald Cameron would enjoy coming to the house of the Lord and that he'd know the difference between the laws of God and the laws of man. Sometimes there's a difference. Sometimes they just fit together perfectly. Listen how quiet it is right now. That's not because we have a sign up that says no talking in God's house. It's because it's for the good of all of us that we kind of stay quiet when God's word is being preached. I heard a teacher say he doesn't really care if they sort of mumble and talk during his class, but when it comes to prayer time, in his class, he expects it to be quiet while we're praying so that all can hear what we're saying to God. I like that. You know, that's different than business as usual, where church sometimes has just become a religion. So it's just a bunch of rules. Straighten up and behave yourself in God's house. Keep the Sabbath holy. Rest on a 7th day, like God did after creation. Do not murder. Jesus will go on to say, if you are holding anger in your heart against somebody, then you're committing murder in your heart. Do not commit adultery. The law. And Jesus says, but I tell you, that if you are looking at a woman with lust in your heart, then you've already committed adultery in your heart. Do not steal. Do not lie or bear false testimony against your neighbor. Do not covet your neighbor's stuff. There's a lot of don'ts there, but remember, Matthew 23, Jesus is really hammering on people that are misusing his name. Would you open to Matthew 23 and just see that with me? Then we're going to go back to Matthew 22. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must obey them and do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for men to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at the banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted in the marketplaces and to have men call them rabbi. And Jesus, he goes into a long tirade Woe to you hypocrites. He hammers on legalism. But I want you to just go back a chapter, to chapter 22, and look at the 34th verse. I'd love to have an all-day Bible feast. But you know, I'm trying to be all things to all men and follow a time schedule. And it's okay for Les to come up and light that candle when he does. That's just going to signify for me, we come to a close of one season of the day. And then we enter into an extended time of worship. Those who need to leave will be able to leave after a song. That's kind of law. That's kind of order. We've structured a day. But we also say, God is free to do anything He wants to in this room. And after everybody's dismissed, you're free to come to the altar and to kneel, to light a candle, to linger as Patty leads us in an extended time of praise and worship. I've not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Matthew 22, verse 34. After Jesus has already done with several issues with different groups of God followers, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And let's just stop and think about this. Teacher, what's the most important law we got? No running in the church. Teacher, what's the most important law we got? Bring your tithe and your offering, gross tithe, before taxes. Bring it regularly. Write your name down and how much on the envelope so we can keep good records. What's the most important law for the church, teacher? Come to Sunday school class faithfully. Be there on time. What's the most important law? Give an altar call every Sunday morning so there's an opportunity for somebody that needs to get saved a certain way according to protocol. What's the most important law? Have all the lights on and open the hymnals and let's sing out of the hymnals so that we can handle it. What's the most important law? To have people open their Bibles rather than just print them on a little bulletin sheet or up on a screen somewhere. What's the most important law, teacher? You know, they came up with 613 laws out of those 10. Haven't you Bible teachers taught that before? You trusted it. You read it in your Life and Work series, your teacher's guide. That the religious people of Jesus' day had 613 laws built out of those 10. And I don't know why they stopped at 613. I mean, I could have come up with more laws. Have you ever seen the law book, like the driver code? You know, if a policeman wants to pull you over, she sure can. She can find some reason to pull you over and some reason to ticket you if she asks enough questions, if she's looking hard enough. It's tough to try to follow the law, the whole law. It is real tough to try. It's impossible to actually do it, to keep the law perfectly. Teacher, this guy he's not sincere in wanting to know an answer from Jesus. His intent is evil. He comes to test Jesus. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Hanging on love, hammering on legalism. That's what Jesus is all about, hanging on love. When he hung on the cross, same kind of word used for hanging on the cross, is the greatest of any commandment hangs on love. First and foremost, love the Lord your God. Love him, the one God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That was Matthew 22, Mark 12, verse 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked them, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." You notice there's a little difference there between Matthew and Mark. You have that word strength. I don't think that Matthew is lacking. I just think that Mark brings us just a little bit more of this depth of devotion we are to have. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Hear, O Israel. Now go to Luke chapter 10, verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Now, those of you who know God's word already know the answer. How does Jesus answer that question? With a one-sentence, complete, succinct statement? No, he tells a story, doesn't he? And it's a very important story. As I said, we could have a Bible feast today. We could go all day in the Word of God. And I believe sometime in the future for Bell Road, there's going to be such a hunger that Les doesn't have to come up here at the appointed time to light the candle, because we'll have gathered to say, you know, all day long, we're just here to hear God's Word all day long. What's the most important commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. That's right out of Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Shema. Listen, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Love the Lord your God. Have that vertical relationship of love. And then it's not so much about, "Hey, kids, stop that right now." Now, I had a young man tell me with fond memory that there was a certain sister in the church that grabbed him and another boy by the ear. And he said, now, she didn't pull us. You know, at first it sounded like, you know, grab the ear almost off, getting biblical like Peter, you know, on the night Jesus was betrayed. No, this lady grabbed one boy by the ear, grabbed another boy by the ear, pulled them together. And then he said, well, actually, we were throwing a football in the house of the Lord. Now, as I said, with fondness, he told that story. But you know, somebody else might not have fondness. If in my zeal for the house of the Lord, I grab onto somebody's ear, that might turn that person off from Jesus. And maybe or maybe not, Jesus was the one who told me, grab him by the ear. Remember, Jesus actually picked up the ear and healed the guy. You know, when Peter, remember Peter whipped the ear off for misbehaving in the house of God, you know, not directed by the Lord in that case. So I want to be very careful that our law, first and foremost, is, hey, we love God in this place. And that we get to know a kid. Who's that 7-year-old? His name is Mr. Cameron. What is his name? Donald, come on up here, Donald. But no, let me see you kind of walk. Look at this guy. He's keeping his hands down. He's got a smile on his face. Donald, I'd like you to light a candle. I want you to light the candle, and you just pray for your mom and for your dad and for that little baby that's going to be coming. I'm going to ask Patty, will you come? And we're going to sing the song Amazing Grace. I'm going to ask the people, the men and women who've been called to come up to receive us in prayer. We'll bring the lights down a little bit, let the candles shine. We know that song, Amazing Grace. We'll stand this time, men and women gathered up here, to pray with you. After this song is completed, I'll dismiss in prayer. But that might be just the beginning of a wonderful day for you. of just lingering in the house of God. No running around, no shouting. We'll save all our fun for out in the reception area, for out in the parking lot. All the frivolity, which is perfectly fitting at the right time and appropriate place. But in this place, it's going to be a sanctuary, a peaceful place where you can get right in your relationship with God so that you will be right in your relationships with other people. Let's sing together. The altar is open.